The Respect for Marriage Act passed in the U.S. House last week. It would write into federal law the right to marry for same-sex and interracial couples. Here's Wisconsin representative and co-sponsor of the bill, Mark Pocan, speaking on the floor of the House.
Here's what I want. I want to make sure that my husband, Phil, can visit me in the hospital should I have to go back again, like when I had a triple bypass a few years ago. I want to make sure my husband has my earned benefits for retirement and Social Security. I want to make sure that my husband is taken care of just like your spouses are taken care of. If I was the entity on the other side of the aisle, I'd be more concerned when my own members accuse it of having cocaine-fueled orgies than worrying about the morality of my marriage. I yield back.
There's a similarly named bill in the U.S. Senate where Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's working directly with Republicans to try to find enough votes to prevent a filibuster and pass it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this push in Congress to put into law marriage rights for same-sex couples in particular? This would also include interracial couples. How high a priority is this for you? Do you worry that the U.S. Supreme Court would overrule past decisions of the Supreme Court that allowed same-sex marriage in states around the country? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Kimmy King is interim chair and distinguished teaching professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back.
Let's set the stage a little bit here. This all kind of starts with the Supreme Court and the Roe v. Wade decision overturning the Roe v. Wade precedent. Why did that get people in Congress talking about same-sex marriage?
The big reason why it did is because Justice Thomas, in his concurring opinion, went even further than what the court had said in the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. That's the case that said, in terms of an abortion, there isn't a substantive due process right there. It needs to go back to the states. And so we go back to this patchwork that is our system of federalism. And it's because Thomas said, look, here we're saying there's not a fundamental right to abortion. And the majority opinion is not saying what I'm going to say, which is it raises the specter that once we overturn this substantive due process right, there are other rights that should be looked at, like the right to marital contraception, the right to marriage equality. And so it's from that that you are seeing this push to prevent the court from doing what they did in Dobbs.
Now, there is a federal law related to same-sex marriage on the books in the 1990s, the Defense of Marriage Act. This goes back to the Clinton administration. Can you remind us what that act did?
Yeah, so the Respect for Marriage Act would, in essence, repeal the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, which is a 1996 law backed by Clinton that defined marriage for federal purposes as a union between one man and one woman. And so it was to address that patchwork of marriage laws to make it clear what the rule of law ought to be.
If this Respect for Marriage Act passes, as more or less written in the House, what exactly does it do, apart from, as you say, repealing the Defense of Marriage Act?
Yeah, so it at least provides some federal ground for LGBTQ rights. You also have to remember that the Supreme Court has actually said that there are LGBTQ rights in employment law under the Civil Rights Act. So it's interesting that the Supreme Court has recognized LGBTQ rights in that context. It's in this issue of marriage equality that there becomes this concern. And so all it would do would be to provide a firm federal stance on it, recognize that the Supreme Court has the ability to weigh in on laws. Most certainly the law would be challenged because in this kind of polarized environment, everything is being challenged.
We're talking to Kimmy King from the University of North Texas, political scientist there, looking at an effort in Congress to pass a Respect for Marriage Act. It's passed the House, supported by Democrats, some Republicans there. Now the Senate, open question, what's going to end up happening there? Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Pat is with us in Green Bay. Pat, hi.
Hello there. Hopefully you still have me. I love what Congress is trying to do and the Senate, but what is going on with our Supreme Court that it's like they're going backwards. Instead of trying to help people, they're trying to destroy. I don't get it. What is the thought process there?
Pat, thanks for the call. Kimmy, Pat worried that the U.S. Supreme Court has kind of reversed course over the last few years.
Well, and the question I think that Pat is also getting at that's implied is what does it mean for a whole other set of laws? Recall that the civil rights movement really began pushing in the 30s, 40s, but started to have success in the 50s, and then especially in the 60s with things like voting rights. And so one of the comments that's been made, and there is a case before the court next fall, which will be looking at voting rights and would return greater power to the states over voting rights. And that's the reason why we have the 1965 Voting Rights Act in the first place. I mean, some have commented that this year it's 1973 out of the Supreme Court, and next year it'll be 1963. The argument that I think the conservative justices might try to make is that we are using originalism and we are trying to look at what the Constitution said. And it fundamentally boils down to this view of whether you see the Constitution as a document that evolves in terms of granting more rights, or whether that if you want to grant more of those rights, the legislatures have to make it explicit and they have to set it down. Because Congress could have solved this issue back in 1974. In fact, in the days after Roe v. Wade was decided, there was a push to try to codify it. And over time, there have been attempts to do it, but they didn't do it. The Congress didn't have the political will. It'll be curious to see whether they have the political will in this case. They got 47 Republicans on board. That's a lot more than they did last year when they were trying to provide for additional LGBTQ rights.
Thanks for that call, Pat. One common argument from Republicans opposed to putting this law into place, some have head on said, you know, they don't support same-sex marriage, but some have said, We're not worried about same-sex marriage, but we're not worried about the Supreme Court overturning its same-sex marriage ruling. So you shouldn't either. This is just a distraction. Not going to happen. People supporting the law said, well, wait a minute. We thought Roe v. Wade was settled law, and that wasn't going to happen either. What do you think about that argument that it's kind of an unnecessary sideshow?
Yeah, the reality is that in 1989, Justice Scalia wrote in a concurring opinion regarding a decision that what the court was doing was they were setting the groundwork, and that someday we would look back at that 1989 decision and say Roe v. Wade has been effectively overruled. And nobody listened to Scalia then. And the result is where we find ourselves today with the Dobbs decision. You just can't know who's going to wind up on the court. Nobody would have predicted that President Trump was going to have the opportunity to put on three justices. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg recognized back in the 1970s that the abortion rights were fragile, especially because of the state situation. And there are some who are arguing that, God bless her, RBG Ginsburg should have stepped down sooner because that might have made a difference here. But instead, she held on. And it's those three justices that have been put on that have made the difference.
We're talking about proposed legislation working its way through Congress aimed at putting into law marriage equality for same-sex and interracial couples, those protected currently by Supreme Court decisions. But what happens if the Supreme Court reverses those decisions? Kimmy King is with us from the University of North Texas, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see Congress, the House already did it, the Senate maybe? Do you want to see the Senate pass a bill like this saying, yes, same-sex marriage is legal here in the United States? Do you agree with what we've heard from Republicans, that this is just a sideshow, that this isn't something that's likely to happen, overturning Roe v. Wade? Do you have wider questions about the idea of privacy rights and whether they are real rights, something that should be taken seriously by courts? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking with Kimmy King from the Department of Political Science at the University of North Texas, looking at the Respect for Marriage bill in Congress, aimed at protecting same-sex marriage in the event of a Supreme Court reversal of past rulings. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Bill is with us in Madison. Bill, hi.
Hi. I'm looking at what Tony Barrett said. She's an originalist, meaning the original way the Constitution was written. And interracial marriage was not written into the Constitution. If she stays with that, and Thomas, who also used that for turning over Roe Wade, then Thomas has to divorce his white wife. That's illegal, and women's rights were not in the Constitution, so she has to leave the Supreme Court because that's illegal. So originalists, and this is going on. So it's kind of like they're writing their own demise if they use the same premise of what overturned Roe Wade. So what Congress is pushing through, yeah, that should have been through a long time ago. I definitely support that.
Bill,
rights for marriage.
Thanks a lot for the call. Kimmy, Bill saying, where does originalism stop?
So I think one of the things that's interesting that your caller is pointing out is that this is part of the debate about originalism. Now, what, again, the conservative justices would say to you was that there are these fundamental freedoms that we have. And the question is, what constitutes a fundamental freedom? And so the right to, I think the interesting point about interracial marriage and certainly women being able to serve on the courts. In fact, there's a decision from the late 1800s that said that women were too gentle. Their nature did not allow them to serve in the courts. And so they were denied being able to have access to that kind of participation. It really fundamentally boils down to how you view the Constitution and those fundamental freedoms. And we go back to this idea of the role of the states in protecting those freedoms. I also want to hit something quickly that the caller is getting at, mm-hmm. that you also raised, and that is, you know, this, well, there's really no threat here. Just keep in mind that there have been 300 anti-transgender and anti-LGBTQ bills proposed in state legislatures just in 2022. In the past 3 years, 20 new anti-transgender laws have become law. And so there's a whole host of issues related to abortion or to marriage equality and gender identity that are also going to be subject to state restrictions given the court's circumstances, you know, what the position that the court has taken here.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Rebecca joins us now in Newton. Rebecca, hi.
Yes, hi. I just had a quick question about how we could get more justices on the Supreme Court. I know that's always a discussion. They're always talking about it. Is it a hard process for them to go through? And who decides if we can do that?
Rebecca, thanks for the call. The number 9, I don't think, is in the Constitution when it comes to the number of justices, Kimmy. That said, it's not easy peasy to change that number.
No, it started at 6, went up to 7, back to 6, up to 9, then to 10, back down to 9 in the late 1860s and has been held there since. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, tried to pack the court in the 1930s, because the Supreme Court kept striking down what he thought were his perfectly good laws that Congress had passed. And it really didn't go anywhere, in part because two of the justices on the court began magically seeing FDR's position and began switching their votes. I don't think that's likely to change here. But I'm also very clear that it's Congress that makes those determinations. And I think that given the tenuous nature of where Congress is at and how divided we are, I don't see that happening. Both, abortion, marriage equality, and changing the size of the Supreme Court all come back to the political will of Congress. And there's an argument to be made here. Congress doesn't have any spine, that Congress is avoiding these issues. And they like to talk the rhetoric when it serves them for come election time. But that the reality is, until they are forced to deal with it, they're not going to deal with it. And that's why I think the Republican Party is going to have some difficult issues. So to get at your caller's question, the real issue you've got to get around is that on marriage equality, in terms of support, public opinion show that between 6 and 10 registered voters, and actually some polls say as high as 70%, with almost 35% of Republicans saying that they support marriage equality, is going to be difficult for hardcore, you know, very conservative folks to be able to get around, because they've lost in some ways the support of their party on the marriage equality issue. And that's a little different from what you see in the abortion case.
Kimmy, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
You betcha. As always, love that public radio.
Kimmy King is interim chair and distinguished teaching professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of North Texas. We talked to her today about proposed legislation known as the Respect for Marriage Act. The U.S. House passed a version that would confirm a right to marry for same-sex and interracial couples. That bill is now under negotiation over in the U.S. Senate.